Good afternoon. We're in the book of James, the letter of James, and we're still in the same passage, and we're going to read the whole passage again. And I was thinking initially we would finish this little section that ends at verse 18, but that's not going to happen. So there's no rush, and we're talking about an important subject, our fight against sin and temptations. So we will take this little slowly, as Pastor Sam likes to say, we'll park here for a little while. So James chapter 1, let's read again from verse 12, in fact, where he picks up the theme of trials and standing steadfast under trials, and then switches the theme to temptations. And so our heading or our sermon last week was A, this week B. We'll see what next week is. Temptations as trials. Verse 12 of James chapter 1. Blessed is the man who stands steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. And desire, when it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. What a privilege to have the word of God so freely available to us. We're considering temptations as trials. And this trials and temptations is one of the well-known themes of this letter. The various trials that were introduced in verse 2 and again in verse 12. And then we observed last week as James kind of changes gear and starts talking about temptations to sin. And we noted that it's also a trial or a test of our faith, that when we overcome, produces steadfastness, and steadfast strengthens our ability to stand fast for the next round of trials and temptations. Last Lord's Day, let me remind you, and for those who were not here, we considered a question, and the question was this: what do we need to know about temptation to sin so that we can stand steadfastly? We need knowledge, and we need to know what the Bible says about temptation to sin. And number one, we had four things. Temptation to sin is also a trial or a test. And when you take a test, the idea is to pass the test. As with trials and various trials, we ought to work through those trials and to stand steadfast, so also with temptation to sin. Number two was very important. God never tempts us to sin. Number three, the believer is never alone in his trials or his temptations. And fourthly, very important, we can resist temptation. We can successfully resist temptation. So this week and next week, we continue with our study of temptation as a trial. What we're going to consider is the next question, which we will answer this week and in the next time we're back from South Africa and continue from there, maybe one sermon, maybe two. And here's the new question: what we need to do when faced with temptation to sin. What we need to know, and now what we need to do when faced with temptation to sin so that we can stand steadfastly. And we just have one point today, and we can have four sub-points under that. And here's our point. Temptation is never an excuse for sin. Therefore, fiercely resist. Temptation is never an excuse to sin, no matter how great or how small. It's never an excuse. Therefore, fiercely resist. We need a biblical knowledge of the nature and of the origin of temptation as well as we need to know what tools are at our disposal to effectively resist and fight temptation. Because a proper understanding will better equip us to understand what action we must take and that the scriptures commands us to take to fight temptation. And we noted in our trials that the Lord sends us trials of various kinds, as we observed. But when we come to temptation to sin, the Lord never tempts us to sin. But he does allow, as we noted, by his permissive will, for us to be tempted, both within our own remaining sin and from without, which we noted was the devil and his schemes and the world that entices us to sin, to the same end, to strengthen our faith, to build steadfastness that we might resist when trials and temptations, and we can stand fast. We noted last Lord's Day that the scripture uses very aggressive language when commanding the believer to resist temptation. And while we must submit to trials of various kinds as coming to us directly or indirectly from God's hands, he sends those to us to test us for our good and ultimately for his glory. But the Christian's reaction to temptation to sin must be swift and decisive, but the very opposite of submitting to. It is to resist. It is to fiercely resist temptation to sin to the own end, to increase our faith, to build steadfastness. We will note four things that we can do to help us to overcome sin and temptation. And again, this is not all-encompassing. You may have 10 other things, and we'll talk about more things as we continue to consider temptation to sin. Number one, flee every form of evil. Flee every form of evil. The scriptures teach us not only to avoid, but to abstain from and to flee from things that bring temptation to sin. Recognize them and resist them, abstain from them, flee from them. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, we read, abstain from every form of evil. That's where I got the heading from. And the older King James Version translated as abstain from every appearance of evil. And form is clearly a much more correct translation, because many things may appear evil to some people, but may not be evil in themselves. I was growing up in South Africa in a kind of middle-of-the-road Baptist church, and a bottle of beer was evil. That was evil. Food and wine are not forms of evil. In fact, they, like many other things given by God, are gifts from his hand. Given by God's common grace for men to enjoy, and are good and perfect gifts, like all of God's common grace that Pastor Sam spoke about. Coming down from the Father of lights, only good things come from God. However, to make the point, gluttony and drunkenness are abuses of God's good and perfect gifts. They are forms of evil, drunkenness and gluttony. And we must abstain from the abuse of those gifts, for they are corruption of the gift. In the same way, intimacy in marriage is a wonderful gift from God, but fornication and adultery and sinful lusts are to be abstained from. We are to flee from them. They are forms of evil. Last week we considered what we need to know about temptation and sin. And the fourth thing was, we can successfully resist temptation. And we need to note that the operative word is resist. It is not just know about something. This is an action on our part. We must resist or flee. It does not come naturally, even to the believer who's been given many tools by God to successfully resist. But resistance requires effort. And when my shoulders were hurting a few years ago, the doctor put up his hand and he says, "Now push against my hand." And I had to resist, and it hurt. It's an action. It requires effort and self-control and an abstinence and a fleeing from every form of evil, every corruption of God's good and perfect gifts. And how do we effectively do this? How do we do this? With conscious effort and hard work. There's no easy path. Conscious effort and hard work. The biggest obstacle is our remaining sin. The biggest obstacle is, "Oh, the devil got me this week on my weakest point." No, he did not. It came from your own heart, and the scriptures made that clear. It is our remaining sin. It is within us. So regardless of the temptations and the allurements of the world or the schemes of the devil, which are very real, and these things are very powerful, they simply awaken remaining sin within us, so that each person is tempted, enticed by his own desire. Thus our heading, temptation is never an excuse for sin, therefore fiercely resist. Brothers and sisters, knowing this about ourselves, that sin sometimes, it's right there and it's lurking at our door. Scriptures say, abstain from every form of evil. Flee from every corruption of God's good and perfect gifts by removing yourself from the source of the temptation, or by removing the source itself. And sometimes this requires drastic measures. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught this himself. Know your own hearts and know your own particular propensities to sin. Know your hearts. Jesus said, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it's better to lose one of the members or one of your members than your whole body to go to hell. In other words, if you're an alcoholic and that ever lurking desire in your heart is just to have one drink, then you've made one of God's gifts, a form of evil by abusing it. So you must abstain. So you must flee. You must cut off that hand if you're an alcoholic. Not just one drink. And that's just an example to make that clear for us. It's never okay to sin. Brothers and sisters, temptation to sin is common to all of us. Temptation to sin is a test for the believer. It is never acceptable for the believer to sin. Though we sin, we must never get used to it. We must never become complacent of its presence. In our new natures, consider that remaining sin an unwelcome guest. And you must watch him all the time. No matter how small, resist, abstain, flee. Giving in to small infringements will lower your steadfastness to fight the sins that corrupt both the body and the soul, as the scriptures put it. And the scriptures make it quite clear. There are sins that are more heinous to God, but no sin is negotiable. Some sins will attack God's grace in our lives. Some sins will destroy our peace and our assurance. And sin will cripple our faith. And it would even destroy our souls if that were possible. And thus James warns us in this passage, as we read, of that downward spiral of evil in submitting to temptation to sin. It leads to death. But you, O man of God, daughter of God, child of God, flee every form of evil. Flee every corruption of God's good and perfect gifts. Sexual immorality is a powerful evil. No matter how unlikely that temptation may sound to you, a good Baptist sitting here, adultery, me, never sexual immorality, never. May I remind you that David was a man after God's own heart, and he was lured and enticed by his own desire. He that thinks he stand, let him take heed, lest he fall. But let me mention just a few to provoke your thoughts and your thinking. A few warnings from Scripture that are clearly posted with extreme danger, no trespassing. There are such warnings in Scripture. Extreme danger, no trespassing. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside of the body, but sexual immoral persons sins against his own body. The love of anything, elevating our love for anything or anyone to the level of the love of God, is idolatry. Man cannot serve two masters. Flee this form of evil. We are to love God with all our heart and with all our soul, with all our mind and with all our strength, and to love anything on that level or any other being is a form of idolatry. 1 Corinthians 10:40, therefore my beloved, flee from idolatry. In 21st century America, what can I say? The big American dream. I've been here 20 years. It's never been this good. The theme is, in America, love your money. Love your money. Accumulate more money. Protect your money. Store up your money. Money is power, and money is fame, and money is pleasure. Money is leisure. And though money is not evil, you know so well that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It has a root system in your garden of your life that penetrates every aspect of our lives and can eventually control us. Abstain, flee from the love of it. Flee that perversion of what is good. 1 Timothy 6, you guessed where that came from. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Demas, who loved this world, turned away. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Instead, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of what? The crown of life. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Brothers and sisters, there are many sins. And the whole object of God's people is to be holy. Be ye holy as I am holy. And without holiness, no man will see God. But we need not go into a wild frenzy about the fear of all these things, or that we'll lose our souls to sin because it's so strong. But we are to be watchful. We are to pass the tests of temptation so that our faith may be strengthened, so that we can develop steadfastness, so that we can stand when we are faced with the hour of temptation. We have God's word, and we have God's spirit within us. We have a new nature that is a slave to righteousness. So do not fear, but put him down, that remaining sin in your heart. God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble. We depend upon the Lord alone to help us, as the psalmist said, and his precious promises guard our hearts and our souls in Christ Jesus. The psalmist said he protects us like a shield. But we are warriors. We are to fight, and we are to flee, and we are to resist. James 4 and verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And Colossians uses the same language, put to death therefore that which is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Flee from every form of evil. That's the first action we need to take. And we spent most of our time there. Don't worry, all the other points are not this long. Number two, we observe in the second place, when faced with temptation, and young people, don't fall asleep here. Teenagers, your bodies are changing, your hormones are going crazy. You will face temptation. You will face trials of many kinds. And old people sitting there, you're not harmless. You're not harmless. We have remaining sin, and we need to fight. And we need to resist with all our energies. Change the channel. Number two. Change the channel. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. The last thing you look at night before you go to bed, the last thing you read or think about or do, often goes to bed with you, doesn't it? That's why the scriptures encourage us to make peace. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Find resolution with your loved ones. And forgiveness, receive and forgive where necessary at the end of the day. It's very hard to get a good night's rest when our minds are troubled or full of anxious thoughts or pictures in our mind from what we saw in the day. And so the same principle applies when we are tempted to sin. Whether through an impure thought in your mind, a picture or an image that you should not have seen in the first place on a website that has entered your mind through your eyes. These things remain with us. And Satan will use them to plague your mind. And your remaining sin will use them to awaken your evil passions and to dwell on them and to incite us to sin in thought and in word and in deed. Joe Rigney wrote a book called War Than a Battle. It's very helpful, especially to men. Makes a very good point. When this happens, change the channel. Change the picture or the thought in your mind and replace one image with another. Don't just blank. Don't just change the channel like I do when I'm falling asleep. And this is a terrible show and I change the channel and just stare at a blank screen. And go to bed, that picture will stay with you. Change the channel. Replace it with something else. Don't just blank out the thought and the image from your mind. You cannot unsee anything, but you can set it aside. And in a sense, do not stare at that blank screen, but replace it with another. Recognize the danger of dwelling there and awakening your sinful thoughts and desires. And men, don't know, our minds wander sometimes, and we kind of just allow that a little bit. Change the channel. Change the channel. The quoting of scripture to yourself, singing a hymn and a prayer to God, who is your refuge and strength. Lord, help me in this time of need. I'm overwhelmed by the sense of sin and desire. All these can be tools to help you to change the channel, to counter whatever image or thought or action may lead you to temptation by replacing with thoughts of God and his righteousness and of your Savior who died for your sins. That'll quickly change the channel. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as the Son of Man on earth, was tempted. As the Bible says, in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. What did Jesus do as the Son of Man? He used the scriptures. He went to the scriptures and he quoted scriptures against the devil. The Apostle Paul in the Philippians encourages very, practice, he didn't call it changing the channel. I don't think they had TVs in those days, of combating anxious thoughts. Do not be anxious about everything. Well, I am anxious. And my wife tells me sometimes, I know what's going on with me. I could just burst into tears at any time for nothing. But we have anxious thoughts, and these get the better of us. And Paul says, what do I do? He says, do this, change the channel. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Change the channel. Replace the image, an impure thought or angry thoughts that may tempt you to sin. That way you can hide God's word in your heart, that you may not sin against him. Consider Job, who was active in this. You know what he did? He made a covenant with his eyes. He said, well, I'm going to set a rule, and that's it. It's a rule. I can't break it. Job 31 verse 1, I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin? Young people, young men, growing up, there's one. Sign on the dotted line. Brothers and sisters, we need to beware. So much comes to us through our senses, our sight and touch, our thoughts, our eyes. These will imprint images on our minds, and it does not stop there. Ecclesiastes teaches us in chapter 1, the eye is never satisfied with seeing. He wants more. And Ecclesiastes 4 says, the eye is never satisfied with riches. Young people, flee every form of evil. And when temptations come through your senses, do not allow these thoughts to fester in your mind. Do not entertain wicked thoughts and images. Change the channel. Temptation is never an excuse to sin, no matter how strong. Remember that promise in Scripture. There is no excuse. This is a promise. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Temptation is never an excuse to sin, no matter how strong. Thirdly, number three, know your weakness and fight the battle at its source. Know your weakness and fight the battle at its source. Verse 14 and 15 of our text. But each person is tempted when he's lured, enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So the question is, what is my weakness? Well, your weakness is the same as my weakness. It's called remaining sin. It is that heart disease, that genetic flaw by the imputation of Adam's sin to us. We are born spiritually dead in our trespasses and sins. But if we are in Christ, we've been delivered from that. And we've been made alive in him, as Ephesians 2 explains. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love for us, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. But while we are on this earth, we remain in a state of battle against the remaining sin in our members that God promised he will finally and completely deliver us from when he comes, or when he calls us to himself, and when we receive those resurrection bodies, and there will be no more sin. There'll be no more ability or desire to sin. There'll be no more suffering and pain. We heard about that this morning. Brothers and sisters, this is our weakness, our remaining sin. God has seen fit for that stench of sin to remain in each one of us in order to fit us for heaven, in order to test our faith, in order to develop steadfastness so that we can enjoy his that ultimate good. In point number 5 this morning, that we can enjoy God forever. Know it and battle against the enticements of the world. Battle every day against the desires of your own flesh and the scheme of the devil. And it's Joe Rigney's book that brings out another point here. And he says, where you choose to fight the battle is where you fight the battle. Where you choose to fight the battle is where you fight the battle. You can choose to resist temptation immediately. When it comes to you, you're on top of the hill. You're in Christ. You have a new nature. You have a spirit. And temptation comes. Do it. Stop it. Fight it. Flee it. Resist it. You have the vantage point. And in battle, if you're in a real battle, it's easier to hold the hill than to take the hill. Because you're already on top. Everything is in your favor. You're in a position of strength in the battle. However, when we start entertaining that sin, and we let our minds wander, and we let our anger get the better of it, we let deceit creep in, and we let envy and slander and all those things, dwelling on the image or the thought of a lustful sin, of desire of any kind, what are we doing? We're starting to move down the hill, and it's so much harder when you start moving downhill, especially a steep hill, to turn around and go back to the top and where you started. Fight the temptation at its source. Stop it in its tracks. Resist when you are strongest. If you fight the battle to the bottom of the hill, your desires will get the better of you and will give Satan the upper hand. It will be a hard fight to get to the top of the hill again. Brothers and sisters, let's remember that when we are tempted to sin. Let me just draw your attention to a solemn warning in this text, which James does here. Trials in which we persevere and the temptations that we overcome, that we resist and overcome by doing battle with the help of his word and his spirit, they strengthen our faith. And we're told that they develop steadfastness, which leads to the crown of life. This is a wonderful upward spiral that leads to eternal life, the crown of life, to those who love him. But James warns us, there's another spiral here. It's like the game Snakes and Ladders. You throw the dice, you land by ladder, you go up. You know the game you play in South Africa, and you're nearly at the top, and a snake bites you, and you're all the way down to the bottom. It's that kind of thing. And James warns, there's another direction. There's another spiral, and it goes down. It leads to a downward spiral. But each person is tempted, lured, and enticed by his own desire, when desire gives birth to sin. And desire, when it's conceived, birth to sin, is fully grown, brings forth death. Note the downward picture, the spiral of giving in to temptation. First, entices and lures, traps the victim. And then when temptation is allowed to run unchecked, it gives birth to sin. It's a natural consequence. It's like conception, he's using the example, leads to childbirth. If you conceive, 9 months later, if you give in to temptation, it leads to sin. That's the only place it goes. Like water that runs downhill, so is evil desire. If allowed to pursue its gravitational inclination down into sinful activity, sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. For the wages of sin is death. That's why we must resist temptation and fight it at its source. Know your weakness and fight your battle at its source. There's no easy way to resist temptation. It's a daily, lifelong battle, but there is a victorious way that Paul points out in his own struggle against sin. You remember Romans 7? Sin that I want to do, that I do. And the good that I don't want to do, that I don't do. And then he writes at the end, he says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." There is a victorious way. Resist, fight, abstain every form of evil. Here's the bottom line. We observe in the fourth and final place, and this is really short. Be prepared to do battle. Be prepared to do battle. I think Ukraine was caught a little unawares. They weren't prepared for battle. If it weren't for billions of US dollars and other countries, they'd long be overrun. No one goes to war without being prepared. That's a sure way to be overcome. The aggressor will always be prepared. He's been thinking about this for months. Satan has been devising schemes from eternity, from the time that he was created. To resist and overcome your remaining sins and passions, the world and its enticements, and the devil and his schemes, be ready to do battle every day. Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 7, be ready and keep ready, you and all your hosts that are assembled about you, and be a guard for them. Keep your dukes up, as we said, like you're in the boxing ring last week. Luke says of the virgins, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. Be prepared for battle. And once again, brothers and sisters, the Lord has given us the resources, all the resources necessary to do battle. How do we prepare? We need the full armor of God every day. For the enemy, the devil, is restless. He desires to ruin your faith. He will not let up. He desired to sift Peter like wheat. Against, from the slightest permission from the Lord, he will do his utmost. And Peter says, be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Be ready for battle. In South Africa, as a young man, and we had to go to the army, we were at war with Angola, and the first thing we got in the army, once you had your army clothes, and they took your civilian clothes, you didn't see it again for 2 years, and they put these browns on you, and this heavy belt, and all the webbing, and the stuff to carry, then they put a rifle in your hand. And they said, this is your wife. You never leave your wife. You sleep with your wife. You go everywhere with your wife. You never leave your wife. You had to learn your rifle number, 7822 7519 BT. That was my army number. I forgot my rifle number because they took it away. But it was your wife. And I remember one day we were doing our bush training, and I was in the bush, and that the R1 rifle, it's like the old FN rifle. It's so heavy. It's a powerful weapon. It's a wonderful weapon. I wish I still had mine. But it is so heavy, and you're walking in the bush, you got the wedding, and it was lunchtime, and I was like, I've had enough of this wife. And so I took my webbing off, and I took my rifle, and I looked around, and I hung my rifle in a tree, and I sat down, and I had my lunch, and the corporal came. And our whole platoon, he said, thanks to the Englishman college here, you see that hill over there? I want a leaf from each of tree. All of you, off you go. And that was the end of the lunch. And you know how they hated me? Because they were trying to teach you, be prepared for battle. Be prepared for battle every day. And that's what it's like when we come to fighting sin. How do we wage and fight the battle and overcome? Not in our own strength. It is God who is at work in us. Because it's a spiritual battle. Let me remind you of that, and I'm going to read that well-known passage. It's quite long, but I'll close with this, more or less, Ephesians 6. Paul reminds us, finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. I cannot resist temptation. I find myself too weak because you haven't got the armor. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. There are rulers and authorities, cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. You cannot do this on your own, by God's Spirit and with His Word and with the full armor of God. We can do battle. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you will be able to withstand in the evil day. And when you've done everything, don't hang your rifle up. Stand. Stand, having done all, to stand firm. Therefore, having fastened the belt of truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And when you face with temptations, think of the belt of truth. Think of the breastplate of righteousness. Christ's righteousness imputed to me. I do not need to sin. I can resist temptation. And shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And in all circumstances, take out the shield of faith by which to put out the flaming darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And let's just bring all these together, praying in the Spirit at all times, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Brothers and sisters, temptation is never an excuse to sin. Therefore, resist fiercely. Flee from every form of evil. Change the channel. Know your weakness and fight the battle at its source and be prepared to do battle. I woke up a bit late. I should have asked to sing this hymn. Stand up for Jesus. You soldiers of the cross, stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. How you dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. The last stanza, stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, to him who resists, to him who stands steadfast, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Next time we'll continue what we need to do when we face the temptation to sin so that we can stand steadfastly. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and for your Spirit. We thank you for the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the full armor of God. And we pray when faced with temptation, we would go to your word. We would consider that armor that you've given us in order to resist and to fight and to overcome and to stand steadfast, that we may look forward to being better prepared to be with you in glory and to enjoy you forever. Oh, Father in heaven, help us to hate our sin. Help us to love righteousness. Help us to remind ourselves that we are slaves to righteousness because Christ died for us, and help us to be ready to do battle against our remaining sin and the world and the devil. For we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.